thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted business and investing news source. It's a pleasure to welcome Mr. Nick Barashev, head of Bullion and founder of Bullion Management Group, BMG, also author of the must-read tome, $10,000 Gold, Why Gold's Inevitable Rise is the Investor's Safe Haven 2013. It's just a pleasure to have him back with us today. Welcome back, Nick Barashev.
Thank you, Chris. My pleasure. And by the way, since you mentioned the book, we've just recently released an audio CD version of the book. And you can go to our site and get a CD copy, and then after that you can make digital copies for your iPhone or whatever. But you'll find that it's a lot easier just to listen to in the car than it is to read the book, because you can listen in the car like several times over and over again, so then it's good that way.
You know, the irony of that, in my 20s and 30s, worked my way through school working odd jobs on the road. And I kid you not, you could probably read as much as the typical student just through audiobooks. There are so many.
Yeah, they've proliferated. So we've had a professional reader, and it was done in a studio, so the guy doesn't put you to sleep. And we've got a lot of compliments and really good demand for the audiobook.
Well, I can see how, because I have two copies of your $10,000 Gold, and I can see why folks would like it. And one of the other neat things is, think of all the time we lose on the road. You can listen to them instead, but why not knock out a book if you're commuting?
That's right, exactly. Most of us spend an hour a day each way commuting these days.
I mean, just frittering that away. I mean, you've easily finished even a medium-sized tome, in a week or so. Sometimes you pick up more. So it's great news to know that you have it in digital form there. And speaking of digital, we know that you're concerned with digital security in the modern financial system. Safe haven investing, of course, increasingly important for every investor. And, of course, Bullion Management Group provides must-have services there.
Well, we've got two kind of distinct product lines. One is that we have three mutual funds. One holds gold, silver, and platinum. The other one holds gold only. The third one, silver only. And these are primarily for Canadian retirement accounts. But we do have sales all over the world for high net worth clients and accredited investors and so on. Our other side of the business is the physical bullion business, where we sell the bigger bullion bars, and as well as Canadian maple leaf gold and silver coins. We can provide storage with Brinks in Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Vancouver, Hong Kong, Singapore, Dubai, Geneva, and Panama. So you choose what you want to buy in gold or silver, and then you tell us where you want it stored, and we make all the arrangements and so on. And we have multiple redundancies where we have the backup system, and you get a deed for every bar you buy that's made on Canada banknote paper. So it's not really forgeable. So there's a dual system of both hard copy and digital copy.
Well, let's jump back then to $10,000 Gold. Of course, we've discussed this in the past, but it's important now. And what I find ironic is, here you wrote this book, you penned it and published it, well, certainly over 5 or 6 years ago, and now you start to see even mainline, who never uttered the word gold in a positive manner or fashion, to start tossing out forecasts of easily 2,000, 2,500, and many of our other more gold-friendly guests talking about 5 and 10,000 and beyond. This is interesting because you've never wavered in your belief and your contention that we had much higher yellow metal.
The actual case for a much higher gold price is relatively simple. You know, because of the actions of the central banks all over the world, they printed too much money. And most of the money went into financial assets, which is stocks and bonds. So in stocks and bonds, and I'm using round numbers for purposes of illustration, we have $300 trillion globally in stocks and bonds. Okay? The area of gold, if we take out jewelry and we take out central bank holdings and industrial jewelry, as far as actual bullion, this is the London Good Delivery bars, we have $1.7 trillion. Okay? That's it. So it's not the whole 150 tons of above ground book. It's the actual bullion. Now, of that $1.7 trillion of actual bullion, what we don't know is a lot of it is held by the world's wealthiest families like the Rothschilds, and they're not going to sell regardless of the price of the currency. So a lot of that $1.7 trillion is not available. But let's say it was available. So the simple math of it is that if 5% of the people that hold stocks and bonds got a little bit nervous and said, well, maybe we should allocate to bullion, which it seems like they're starting to get. So 5% of 300 trillion is 15 trillion. Well, how do you divide 15 trillion when there's only 1.7 maybe available? So the only way you can do that is for the price to go up to 10,000. Now, if less than 1.7, let's say only half of it's available, then you get 20,000. That's simple. Now, people say, well, what about mine supply? Well, mine supply has been in decline for years. It now takes, with all the new environmental regulations and so on in most countries, it takes nearly 20 years from discovery to production. So even if gold went to 10,000 tomorrow, mining companies aren't going to do anything as far as increasing supply for 20 years. This is the very simple math issue. The second thing, which I based a lot of the book on, was that up until 2011, the U.S. total debt and the gold price were perfectly correlated. Both are going up in the same pace. Then gold dropped off. And the reason it dropped off was because of the multiple methods of manipulation, which now isn't a conspiracy theory. Several people have already been criminally charged. J.P. Morgan is being called a corrupt organization. And that's what kept the gold price down. So the people that say that gold should be 2,000, is gold should be 2,000 right now, just to get back to the correlation. Now, nobody's talking about reducing the U.S. debt. Our candidates are looking like they're going to print money like to beat the band. The money supply is going to expand even further, and if the correlation is allowed to stay pace, it'll keep going up and up and up. So those are the two main things for the higher gold price. The rest of the things are all the concerns and the problems in the system that will give you the reason why more than 5% will move out of equities into gold.
Very good. Well, these are some remarkable numbers, and it's really basic math. You've, I think, reduced it down to the understandable. It's very concise. And then look, you know, $1.7 trillion worth of gold, maybe $15 trillion chasing that. It's a 10x. And let's just assume things don't expand beyond the regression, as they so often do, because these could be tame numbers. But do you care to explore the implications of just this mild scenario you've painted?
The thing is, we're going to have, I think first we may have a sniff of deflation as certain assets and debt instruments collapse. And as soon as that happens, the Fed's going to step in with, you know, more QE of one form or another. And then we'll get inflation and eventually hyperinflation. The issue is from last 200 years, there's been 56 hyperinflations in the world. Now, hyperinflation is an inflation of 50% a month. I mean, 56 that have exceeded 50% a month. So this is standard thing. There's never been a fiat currency ever that hasn't ended in hyperinflation. Because every time, whether the kings, the politicians, the emperors, whoever it is, and they get on to the issue of printing money, then they can't, you know, hold back and they overprint. This is exactly what's happening now. When you listen to the candidates, like it's like there's no end to the money. We'll give, you know, free education, free Medicare. We'll give the illegal aliens, you know, free education, free medical. Throw them in the pile. Well, where's this? All this is going to come from? Well, more debt. Right now, if you look at the combination of U.S. cash debt, which is about $22 trillion, and then add the unfunded liabilities of another $120, that works out to about $380,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. But more importantly, it works out to about $1 million per taxpayer. So that's never going to get paid. So the only thing that can be done is to inflate it away to where they're paying back the debt in worthless currency.
You know, your thoughts here really, I think, parallel the sentiments of course, Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff, Boston University, really good friend of the show like yourself. He's pointed out to us his number keeps climbing on the real notional value of the debt out there when we do include those unfunded liabilities. You know, it used to be 220. Now, the last time I talked to him, it was around 230, 240.
But this is where, you know, we've just created a new hedge fund that's just getting the final administrative issues done with RBC, which is the administrator. And our main thrust is we've been marketing it to pension funds, both private and public. The vast majority of pension funds have vast unfunded liabilities. So the problem, and this is where I've written a recent article on that, is that if a pension fund, for ease of arithmetic, has $1 million in pension assets and $100,000 in unfunded liabilities, not too bad. But if the pension assets, which are primarily stocks and bonds, decline 50% in the next correction, which is, you know, inevitable, you know, soon, then the pension assets go to $500,000 and the pension unfunded liabilities go to $600,000. And on, you know, in California, we're already having CalPERS sending out letters to the pensioners saying, I'm so sorry, but from now on, your pension check is going to be reduced by 60%. Okay, that's already happening. And this is retired teachers, firemen, policemen that have worked for 30 years and now have to, you know, figure out how to cope with a 60% pension reduction. So this is a big crisis coming up. When we've studied the pension funds, there's only three pension funds in the world that have gold: the Texas Teachers Pension Fund, the a union pension fund in Holland, and a Canadian pension fund which has about 20 million with us. Okay, now those are drops in the bucket, because a decent sized pension fund needs to buy billions of dollars worth of gold just to have 5%, and none of them do. So pretty soon you're going to start where a few of the pension funds are going to be first to the table, and they may be the only ones that will be able to buy. Because it's one thing, the small investor can buy the odd coin here and there regardless of the price. But if you're a pension fund and you need to buy, you know, $2 billion, $5 billion, $10 billion, that's not so easy.
They turn to the most available alternative, and that's the ETF, the exchange-traded funds. Many of our guests share your belief that there might be some cracks in the foundations there.
Well, it's not just cracks in the foundation. Like Catherine Austin Fitz did a detailed problem of all the custodians and sub-custodians. But here's the real issue that people don't appreciate. An ETF is not like an open-end mutual fund. In an open-end mutual fund like ours, the investors send money to the manager. The manager then goes and buys the assets according to the portfolio mandate. And every day it's priced at net asset value, and it's that simple. That's not what happens in an ETF. In an ETF, you have an authorized participant. And if you read the wording on the ETF material, the authorized participant assembles. Now, in quotation marks, the word assembles the assets. Not buys, not pays for anything, assembles. Okay? Now, these are very high-priced lawyers that get paid a lot to figure out which word to use. The reason being is that the ETF authorized participants borrow the bullion and they contribute it to the ETF. They get the ETF shares, sell the shares to the public, and keep all the money. Everybody thinks it's about management fees. No, it's about all the money. Now, the bullion that was borrowed from a central bank, the IMF has a written policy on how central banks are to deal with leased bullion. And the issue is that when a central bank leases the bullion, title to the bullion always remains with the central bank, just like any other lease. When you lease a car, you don't get title to the car. The lessor has title to the car. Central bank has title to the bullion. The weird part about it, though, is in this case, the lessee of the bullion doesn't have to return the exact same bar. He just has to return so many ounces. So the bars can be melted and into 1 kilo bars and sent to China. And the ETF is sitting there with gold that still belongs to the central bank. So if an authorized participant becomes a Lehman Brothers, all a central bank has to do is go to the ETF and say, excuse me, but please send my gold back. Here's a copy of the lease agreement. And the ETF investors end up with zero. But the thing is, you have to read, and they've done a very clever job of that, is when they came out with the ETF originally, you can get the prospectus, and then you can get the authorized participant agreement on EDGAR. They were filed there. Now you can't find them. And the prospectus is about half the size of the original prospectus. But the important part is to read the authorized participant agreement to understand that. And then you can connect the dots, because when it talks about where did the authorized participants get the gold from? Do they go to the market and buy it to contribute to the ETF? I don't think so. The futures doesn't give them physical bullion. Nobody takes delivery of futures to speak of. 90% futures are settled in cash.
You know, this kind of brings us, I think, full circle to your $260 to $300 trillion in global financial assets. You gave us, I think, a really conservative estimate, because the traditional metric that we all learned in B school is you should have at least 5 to 10% of any portfolio.
Yeah, if you have a normal market, you should have 10%, because that'll reduce the portfolio volatility and improve returns. We've run those numbers up, down, and sideways. So that's the simple starting point. But right now, when you're at the edge of the cliff, we've got the first time triple bubble ever. I've been in the business 40 years. A triple bubble hasn't happened in my experience, and that's a simultaneous bubble in stocks, bonds, and real estate. simultaneously.
Oh, my longtime listeners are going to cringe. But I've got to mention Dixon White's Fiat Money Inflation in France, because this was the quick, easy read tome that first, oh gosh, almost 20 years ago, brought me to the realization something is really bad going to happen when all these ducks line up in a row. You know, as you've just pointed out, the day of reckoning for the financial markets is inevitable. You've talked about on USA Watchdog, you've never in your lifetime seen three consecutive market bubbles. I thought this was an astute observation.
Like, if you just look back in recent history, in 1999, we had a bubble in equities. And when you look at the NASDAQ, the NASDAQ just recently broke even on a nominal basis, on an inflation-adjusted basis, it still hasn't broken even since from 99. And then in 2007, we had really a real estate and mortgage bubble. So, and, you know, it popped and, you know, brought down equities along with it. But right now, we've got a triple bubble in can't get much lower. We've got $17 trillion of negative interest debt now in the system. So how much lower can we go? And you know, in real estate, in any of the material I've read, we're kind of at the same, like the Case-Shiller ratios are at the same kind of elevated phase as they were at the top of 2007, just before everything came down. So we're there again. All the traditional metrics of measuring equities, the Buffett indicator, the Tobin indicator, the PE or earnings ratios, they're all at numbers equal to 1999 or equal to 1929 in some cases. So, I mean, all that is there. The point is, why would you want to invest in something at the peak of a bubble and not invest in gold, which is undervalued because it's being manipulated? The opportunity is in gold and silver.
No, exactly. You pointed out on the last show. It's what they call FOMO, fear of missing out, which we used to call greed, fear and greed.
But when you think about it, you see missing out, let's say. So what are you missing out in? Maybe the equity markets go up another 5%, maybe 10%. I mean, how much more can they get overvalued? How many more people are gonna buy overvalued from you? So, but let's say it's 10%. But the flip side of it is 50 to 70% decline. Doesn't sound like a good bet to me.
But even if you don't buy the thesis, the hypothesis, and the reality, in air quotes, we're facing a 50 to 70% decline if we're lucky. Still, your contention, and ours, that 5 to 10% is a bare minimum safety net, or if you want to call it a life jacket or life preserver, for every investment portfolio, whether you be as big as a pension fund or just everyday, you know, investor. There has to be something to right the vessel. You think of it as the keel, you know, the lead-filled keel. You know, when the rough waves and rough storms come to the financial markets, it helps keep your vessel afloat. Just a basic analogy.
See, my view is that right now is an exception to the thing. Normally, if there's clear and present danger in the financial markets, you step aside and go to cash. Now, going to cash is, on one, is conservative, and number two is that when the market has declined and you get the opportunity to buy back in at 50 to 70% less. So then your portfolio really performs when you bought it at that kind of a discount. But the thing is, now, since January of this year, all the regulatory agencies, the BIS, the FDIC, and in Canada, the OFC, have all rated physical allocated bullion as equal to U.S. treasuries in U.S. dollars. Okay? They rated it as a zero-risk asset equal to U.S. treasuries in U.S. dollars. So the issue is, when you're facing this kind of danger in the equity market, step aside. Step aside in bullion. The average increase in U.S. dollars of bullion since 2000, the average annual increase is just under 10% a year. Yep. That's just owning bullion. So how many investment portfolios have outperformed 10%? Not many.
Since the year 2000, even some of the top big name investors out there have failed to beat just one single little measly barbaric relic of a market.
And the major investors that everybody thinks he's the best investor in the world, but Berkshire Hathaway's stock has underperformed bullion.
This is a lot of food for thought, cuisine for cogitation. Forgive my alliteration. And so if we bring it all the runners across home plate here, let me just let you outline, you know, the next few years as you see it for the financial markets and the metals.
The part that we can't foretell right now, which there's the big deal of the election coming, the possible impeachment of Federal Reserve policy. Now, is the Federal Reserve, that conspiracy theory side of things is to say, well, the Fed doesn't like Trump, and as a result, they're going to create the stock market crash, just like they did in 1929. 1929 was created by the Fed. Okay, they pulled the liquidity out of the market for 3 years, and the stock market crashed. So, and are they going to do this on purpose and then say, well, it's Trump's fault? Okay? Or are they going to be able to hang enough together until after the election? So that's a big coin toss as far as I'm concerned.
What do you say, though, to last week's first intervention in the open market by the Federal Reserve, the FOMC, since 2008? I mean, some people were, pundits and analysts, viewed this as you know, an attempt to drain some liquidity.
That could very well be. That's until we see the rest in what they're doing. I think they're going to have to go back and get back to buying assets if they want to postpone the market crash any further.
And, of course, their colleagues around the world talking about negative interest rates.
Switzerland used to have the strongest currency because it was most backed by gold. It was one of the last currencies to come off the gold standard. And now the Swiss Central Bank is the biggest investor in Swiss equities.
Yeah, Swiss franc. And think of that. So everyone, again, with, I hate to use the term, but FOMO, forgetting the basics, the very basics you learn in Finance 101 or any business course, you know, any business school, B school.
This is what, you know, we're finding people that listen to the CD, because that goes through a lot of history of money and the economy and everything. And the thing is that, you know, you've got all the business schools around the world, but not one of them, other than the Mises Institute, teaches anything about money. There are no university courses about money.
You know, it's essentially viewed from the Keynesian and monetarist perspective, shrouded in mystery between the Treasury and the Federal Reserve.
But it's not that mysterious when you analyze, and that's what people find useful in the CD, because it'll give them a clear understanding of the way the system works.
Excellent. So we really need to underscore, highlight the importance of Nick Baruchef's $10,000 gold, why gold's inevitable rise is the investor's safe haven, 2013. And now it's in digital.
I just think the first step is people need to pay attention and study the situation. Okay, you're not going to just, you know, I'm 100% in bullion only. But I've been at this thing for 25 years, so I've read all the books and know all that. I'm comfortable with my decision. If somebody isn't comfortable, isn't educated enough, they won't have the confidence to hold bullion, and they won't sleep at night, and they'll be criticized by all their friends and neighbors and the mainstream media. So that's the starting point. You need to get educated and really get to the bottom of the truth. After that, you know, once you're educated, you will do the same thing I do, which is you buy bullion then to preserve your wealth.
Sage advice. And lastly, Bullion Management Group. Of course, you're at the top of our list of folks we recommend. And one of the reasons is you keep the, which we learned from BMG, the serial numbers of the bars and the individual PCGS grading numbers as well.
Right. Well, and that's all listed on our website. We've got bar lists on everything we hold for the funds and individuals and so on. That's there. And that's where you know, in order to own gold, you need the serial number, the refiner, the exact weight, the exact purity. It's the same like having, you know, make, model, serial number of a car. Those attributes to bullion. If your statements simply say how many ounces you have, well, you don't own any gold. You just have an IOU from whoever you're dealing with.
All right, Nick Barashev, we have all the links up for BMG Gold. We want to, again, lastly, just encourage everyone, also be sure and bookmark BMG Gold, because this is the thing when you're getting excited about procuring, maybe we don't always think about. Okay, we have it. Now let's keep it safe. We have that safety net. We have the life preserver for the portfolio, and it's physical, but we need to put it somewhere safe. Nick Barashev, thank you so much, and thank you for your mentorship over the last decade.
Okay, you're welcome. My pleasure. Take care, Chris.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver metals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Shopping for fine jewelry just got easier. GoldSeek.com has identified the most successful jewelry brand to launch in recent times. Many Jewelry is rewriting the way consumers buy fine jewelry. Integrity Craftsmanship, the only company to sell 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry, avoiding confusing alloys and gems, a true precious metals investment. Many Jewelry's disruptive business model embraces Franco-American craftsmanship and direct-to-consumer economics, rapidly disrupting the $20 billion monopoly, just like Amazon and Uber. The sky is the limit with $1 billion of jewelry purchases daily for loved ones and those special occasions. Many Jewelry is an innovator positioned to capture market share, with annual sales growth in the industry topping $30 billion by 2021. Many Jewelry coined the term investment jewelry, pricing by the gram, transparently disclosing its profit margins, a truer investment in pure gold or platinum. Similar to real estate, even artwork, Many Jewelry has a weighted value easily calculated, ensuring value wealth as a long-term investment. With sales in 60 countries around the globe, 20,000
orders already, don't miss out on the explosive growth potential. Many jewelry trades under the symbols MENE on the Toronto Exchange, and in the US, MENEF. Remember to sign up to MENE's Shareholder Club to receive shareholder news, updates, and special discount codes for jewelry purchases. Remember, MENE Jewelry.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.